श्लोक 11-12
भगवत कथा by His Holiness Radha Govinda Swami Maharaj in year 2007 in Khadia, India on Giriraj Dharan Leela Canto 10, Chapter 24. First, continuing from this morning's class, Canto 10, Chapter 28, Krishna rescues Nanda Maharaj, balance verses from 11 to the end of the chapter. Shlokas 11 and 12.
ते पद सुख्य धियो राजा मत्वा गोपाष्टमीश्वरा अति महस्वगतिं सूक्ष्मा उपाधास्यदधीश्वरः इति स्वानां स
This is chapter 28. Text
13.
This is text 14.
गोपानां तमसः परां सवेरे कथा हो रही थी
दिस मॉर्निंग कथा
नंद बाबा को ब्रह्म लोक से छुड़ाकर भगवान कृष्ण लाए
नंद बाबा कृष्ण रेस्क्यूड नंद बाबा फ्रॉम वरुणास प्लैनेट एंड ब्रॉट हिम बैक टू ब्रज So Nanda Baba was talking to Vrajvasis about the opulence of Varuna Dev. He was telling that all the demigods were offering obeisances to Krishna and offering prayers. By hearing this, the Vrajvasis in their minds, they were convinced that Krishna is the supreme. Because all the great demigods, Indra, Varunas, they were falling at his feet, offering prayers. He took Nanda Baba to the heavenly planets. So they all had this desire in their heart that if Krishna is the supreme, do you think he would be merciful to us and give us darshan of his loka, Vaikuntha? They used to think like that always. They never told him. They never told him, but always they had this desire used to come up in their heart that Krishna, if he is supreme, maybe he will give us darshan one day of the Vaikuntha planet. And Krishna understood the feelings in their heart. Vrajvasis wanted to take darshan of Vaikuntha. And without them asking Krishna, Krishna understood. Kripya eta the sincheya. And Krishna, to fulfill their desire, he thought like this. Text 13. Itasmin loke, Lord Krishna is thinking that in this material world, the living entity does not know his swarup, his real self, and he considers his body to be himself. Make his body happy, he has to do so many activities, and because of the material desires, he does many karmas. And according to his karma, he keeps going in higher or lower bodies, higher or lower destinations, whether it's a human or demigod, animal, bird. Swam gatim brahman. He does not know his real destination. He remains satisfied in this material world, remains satisfied to know that this is his place, and that's all he knows. He does not realize that his real destination is beyond this material world. Beyond this material world, the Lord's dham is his real home. He does not know. Suppose there is a prisoner, he lives in a prison. And suppose he totally forgets his home because he's been in the prison so long. Then whatever things he gets in the prison house, he tries to be happy with just that, and he does not even desire to go to his real home because he has forgotten. And he starts to think that this prison house is everything for me. Perhaps it's possible that outside the jail he has a very big house with all facilities. He may have a very wealthy house, all kinds of things that he needs. But just like forgetting that, he tries to be satisfied in this horrible prison house. In the same way, this is the condition of the living entities. All living entities are always moving, wandering. And they're all desiring that I may have a very nice place. But where do they want? In this material world. They have not even the knowledge of their real home, where there is full knowledge and bliss, where the Lord lives, where there is all happiness. The Lord is thinking, here in text 13, Uccha Vachasu Gatishu Na Veda Swam Gatim Brahman. Living entity is wandering, and swagatim, his own destination, he does not know. Where is my real home? What is the relationship with the person who has created all this? This is a very sad thing. So here Krishna is thinking, you'll see in this world, most of the people are very satisfied just being here. Among thousands and thousands of people, one person may think, no, this place is not very nice. Maybe we should do something to find a better place. Just like these days we see, people who live in the villages, or those who live in the mountains, they think we should live in some town where there is a better facility for school, can find everything available. Maybe we'll be more secure, there's less danger of thieves. So the village people like to come to towns. And the people in the towns, they think we should go to a better place, maybe Banaras or Patna. And the people who live in Banaras and Patna, big towns, they're thinking we should look for a better place, maybe Bombay or Delhi, they're thinking. There is a better life and more secure, better jobs, better schools. We should go to big cities like Delhi and Bombay. And people from Bombay and Delhi, they think better than this, Delhi and Bombay, is better if we go to America. They think like this. And the people in America, they think we should go live in the moon. Maybe we're looking for a place better than this. We should live in a better place. The wealth of the whole world we should have. Fight here, war here, kill this, get. And this is going on. But beyond this world, is Vaikuntha. Beyond this world is even heavenly planets. They don't even know. They have no knowledge of this. America, etc., for demigods, it's not even fit for them to spit on. The demigods are so opulent, and their standard of living is so high, they think nothing of this earthly planet and the facilities here. In fact, they don't even want to put their foot on this planet. They only go on airplanes. Very, very rare instances they land on the earth. It's such a dirty place. They live in heavenly planets. In their heavenly planet, not even one day they have to cook these puris and rice and dal. They drink amrit. They drink the nectar. And they live for lakhs of years. And their knowledge is lakhs of times more than the humans. Their strength is also lakhs of times more than the humans. And the people who have received the body, human body on this earth, they have no idea of life on the heavenly planets. There's heavenly planet, and that it can be gotten by doing yagyas and austerities and bhajan. They have no idea. And beyond this heavenly planets, there is Brahma Loka. That's far better. And beyond Brahma Loka, there is the Lord's own dham. That is very unlimited. Just like at night we see all these stars, there are so many lokas and so many demigods live there. And beyond this material sky, there is a spiritual sky. There are unlimited lokas like this, and they're all Vaikunthas. And there is The Lord's devotees live there. They're unlimited planet and they live there forever. And there is no suffering. Here in the material world, even till heavenly planets is suffering. Even in heavenly planets, sometimes the demons attack. And in the heavenly planets, there is this great suffering of the mind that the other person has more enjoying facility than me. And the demigods always have this mental suffering. This other person has more enjoying facility than me. Whatever they have, they're not able to enjoy that completely. The other person has more enjoyment, I have less. Just this mental anguish, he keeps suffering mentally. And he's not able to enjoy so much. There's also suffering in the heavenly planets. Tulsidas, the poet, has this verse that in this world, everyone thinks the king is happy. The king is thinking the Maharaja is happy. Here the chief minister thinks, I am not so as happy. If I could be the prime minister, then I'll be happy. Raja kahe Maharaja Sukhi and Maharaja say Indra ko bhari. And the Maharaja is saying, I don't even actually have so much happiness. The real happiness Indra has. Indra says, what happiness I have, the real happiness Lord Brahma has. And Brahma says, actually I don't have any happiness, the real happiness Lord Shiva has. Just think how he's thinking. Lord Shiva has nothing, he's like a beggar. Keeps nothing for himself. He's a complete, looks like a beggar. Till this day he hasn't made a house for himself. And he doesn't have an airplane or a car. He has a bull. And he lives under this banyan tree. He has no facility for taking shower, a soap, shampoo, nothing. Never once he never has given his clothes for laundry for once. He doesn't have clothes. He stays naked. And he manages by putting ashes all over his body. And he's Ishwar. But he has no interest in any kind of sense gratification. And this is how he lives. But Lord Brahma says, actually, Lord Shiva is happy. And Lord Shiva says, nobody is happy. Tulsi Das, this is the poem. Tulsi Das vichar kare, Hari bhajan bina sab jagat dukhari. So Tulsi Das is saying, the Raja, Maharaja, Indra, Brahma, nobody is happy. The person who is actually happy is the Lord's devotee. Tulsi
vichar kare, Hari bhajan bina sab jiv dukhari.
Lord's bhajan, everyone is unhappy and suffering. This shloka, number 13, Krishna is considering that all these jivas, they have no knowledge of their real destination, their home, where it is their adhikar, it is their right to have that place. Just like a son has the right for his father's property, all these living entities have actually a right to be in the spiritual world, in their real destination. Just like this son who has his birthright on the father's property, he's called Dayabhak. Daya means dhan, the wealth. So, in the same way, the living entities are Dayabhak for that knowledge, that happiness, that place. He has his birthright, Sarup Siddh, but when he will do bhakti for Krishna, and then he will leave this material world forever and live there, and he does not come back to this world of suffering. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita,
Natud bhasyate surjo na sasanko na pavaka jat gatva na nivartante tab dhamo paramo mama. Jahan surj ke prakash ki koi zarurat nahi,
where there is no need for the sunlight, there is no need for moonlight, where you don't need fire, etc., that is my paramdham. Going where the living entity does not return to this material world. So the living entities don't have the knowledge of that dham. And that's why they do not endeavor to go to this Vaikuntha. They endeavor to go to America, but they do not endeavor to go to the spiritual world because they don't have the knowledge of that happiness. So the Lord is thinking in text 13 that the living entity keeps working in this world. Activities. Calm. He has desire, material desires. So many material desires. I should get this, I should get this, I should get this. And by bound up by these material desires, he makes so many endeavors, so many activities. Desire, all these things, avidya. Because he does not have the knowledge of his sarup. He does not realize who he is. He thinks he is this body. He thinks when the body dies, he will die. He considers the body to be self. He has forgotten his own sarup, that he is a servant of Krishna, that I have a relationship with Krishna, that I should go back to him without trying to find that knowledge. He remains in this world trying to find happiness in different kinds of bodies in this world, wandering birth, death, he is entangled. Text 14. So, thinking like this, Sukadev Goswami is telling that Krishna as Mahakarunika, the most merciful. Karuna, the meaning of Karuna is to try have the feeling of removing somebody's suffering. Sukadev Goswami Swami is calling Krishna Mahakaruniko. And by being merciful, Krishna gave darshan to all the Brajvasis of his loka, of his Vaikuntha loka.
सत्यं ज्ञानमनंतं जग ब्रह्म ज्योतिः सनातनं वो कैसा लोक है उसका स्वरूप बताते हैं सत्यं ज्ञानमनंतं जग ब्रह्म ज्योतिः सनातनं जद्धि पश्यन्ति मुनयो गुणा पाये समाहिता
Which is Satya in all the three kalas. Satya means indestructible, which was always there and eternally it will always be there, and it is there now and it never changes. That's called Satya. In this world, what is asatya?
Asatya,
this body once was in mother's womb, then it takes birth, he grows, and then he gets old and dies. Either they burn the body or bury him in the ground. Or some animal eats the dead body. It's not Satya, it wasn't there before. Before birth, this body wasn't there. By the combination of man and woman, this body was made. This is explained how this body is made in the Bhagavad Gita, how the different parts of the body develop in the womb, and slowly the body grows, and about 9-10 months the body becomes complete. It wasn't there before, when it would not be there afterwards. So this is not Satya. This is not Satya at all. It is not indestructible. Lord's Dham, Lord's body, and Lord's associates, they're all Satya. There's nothing material, just like here, there's earth, water, fire, etc. There's nothing jad, there's nothing material there. Anantam, how long, how big it is, it cannot be measured, unlimited. Yat Brahma, Jyoti Sanatana, and it's effulgent, it's always effulgent. It's Sanatan, it's eternal.
Is
Chinmay, Brahma. The sages, those who can go beyond the modes of this material nature, beyond Satagun, Rajagun and Tamagun, the sages who can subside these modes, when they are absorbed in trance, they can understand that there is such a world. So where did the Lord show the gopas this world? Text 16.
ते तु ब्रह्म हृदं नीता मग्ना कृष्णेन च धृतः ददृशु प्रभुरो लोके यत्र क्रोधेगा पुरा.
The Lord, he called all the Brajvasis from around Govardhan and took them to this place which is now called Akrur Ghat, Brahmarad. Brahmarad is still there, where same place where Akrura saw the spiritual world. In Brajmandal Parikrama we go. It's also called Akrur Hrad. Hrad means, Hrad is a place, it's called sometimes Daha. Sometimes when the river is moving and it's bending in a place, the bend, that little part is called Daha. So in Jamuna there were a few Hrad, like Kaliya Daha. Previously in this Kaliya Daha was spread in this part of the Jamuna where Kaliya was. This Kaliya Daha was spread for one yojan, which is 8 miles. Today there is, it's become all fields. And below that in Vrindavan, there is a Brahma Hrad, where Akrur took bath. And he took darshan of the spiritual world. When Akrur was going to Mathura with Krishna and Balaram, he stopped to take bath in this place. And when he took a dip, he saw Krishna Balaram turned into Sheshnag and Vishnu. And then he took his head out and he saw that they were still sitting on the chariot. And he was amazed. So then he thought maybe what he saw in the water is something in his mind. So again, he came back and he saw in the water, and up and down he saw a few times like that to confirm. Actually, when Akrur was taking Krishna Balaram in his chariot to Mathura, and in his mind, looking at the condition of these two young boys, he became very fearful. Krishna and Balaram were talking among each other. They were talking about sometimes Krishna Balaram seemed sad. They were talking among themselves about Nanda Baba and how they'll be, as if they were missing. So sometimes Akrura used to become a little anxious for their well-being. Sometimes Krishna will look very sad and talk to Balaram, "We're from a village, I don't know where he's taking us, and there will be no mother and father." Like that, sometimes they would talk among themselves, Krishna and Balaram, and overhearing that, Akrura would become very anxious for their safety. Sometimes Krishna would be very sad and miss Mother Yashoda, "I am missing Mata." So then Lord Balaram would see that Krishna is sad, so he will also become sad. Akrura was afraid that if they get a chance, if I ride slowly and these boys in this condition, if they get a chance, they might jump out and run away back to their Nanda Maharaj's house. So because of this, he was riding the chariot very fast. When he came to this place, Brahmarad, he thought, "Well, it's become late, almost 2 o'clock. Let me stop here and take bath." So he and say my prayers. So he got out and went inside the lake. And he went inside. He saw Sheshnag and Vishnu.
Sri Balaram ji Sheshnag ban gaya, Shesh sab jaya.
He got this darshan. Pura, he started to say, offer prayers right there in the water. And inside the water, all the demigods, the sages were offering prayers. That place is like that. It's called Brahmaharad. So Sukadev Goswami is saying the same place where Akrur saw the spiritual world, Krishna took the Vrajavasis to the same place. Sukadev Goswami is saying the place where Akrur got darshan of the spiritual world, Krishna took the cowherd men to the same place. We have to remember that when the time when Akrura got darshan of the spiritual world there, this incident of the Brajavasi seeing the spiritual world is happened before Akrura's darshan. And Sukadev Goswami is speaking this incidents much later. So he's saying the place where Akrura got darshan, but the gopas, they got darshan at the same place much before Akrura went there. There everybody got darshan. It's not that they saw Krishna in Vishnu Roop. It's not that they saw Krishna in the form of Vishnu. This is the Supreme Lord. Krishna showed them his loka, his Vaikuntha planet. Text 17. Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd boys, men, when they saw the Golok Dham, they became Paramanand, very transcendently happy. And they saw that the personification of Vedas was surrounding Krishna and offering prayers. And they became very amazed. But they had no such desire that we should just live here. Krishna said, dip in the water, they did. When they went in the water, they saw Vaikuntha. They saw all this. They saw everyone offering prayers. But they didn't have this desire that Krishna should stay here and we should all also stay here. They wanted Krishna. Actually, they wanted to see some like a show for fun. What is Vaikuntha like? It's like sometimes people go to see, watch a show for fun. They had this desire to see that my Krishna is so great, everyone's worshipping him, falling at his feet. So Krishna showed him darshan of his dham. There is a poem on this from Varuna's place. Krishna rescued his father Nanda Maharaj. And the Lord shows the gopas His dham. This is most important to realize that in this world people are so much in ignorant that they don't know they're so blind that they don't know about the Lord's loka and their own home. The living entities are part and parcels of the Lord and they have complete right on they have complete right to be able to live with the Lord in His loka, just like a man, a father, a son who doesn't know the property of his father. Perhaps the father died and did not tell him where it is. He has no idea. And if suppose the son did not know where the father had buried gold and jewels and diamonds, so the son will not be able to enjoy the property of his father. No, this is we're in the same situation. We're very unhappy, suffering in the cycle of birth, death, again and again. So many diseases, old age. We don't even know that if we come in connection with our Supreme Father, we'll be free from all this suffering. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord is saying again and again, if you do my bhakti, if you offer obeisances to me, worship me, become my devotee, then you'll come to me, there is no doubt. Again and again we hear this. And we'll become free from all the sufferings. Human beings are meant to understand this. In the Bhagavad Gita, again and again, the Lord tells us about His dham. He is all the time, again and again, glorifying His dham. When the Lord comes to this world, He instructs the people of His world, of His loka. And He teaches them, come to this world. And He teaches also how to live in this world, how to behave, how to live in the community, society, with friend, with enemy, with mother, father. He teaches how to behave. But He teaches again and again that this world is this life, this world is temporary. And do my bhajan, come to me. This body is temporary. It's full of suffering. Having received this body, do my bhajan. Again and again He says. So we should learn from this instruction of Krishna and worship the Lord. And this organization of this Srimad Bhagavatam Katha is a very good upakar. It's a real paropkar. Everyone benefits from hearing this. They understand their relationship with Krishna and they learn about the form of Krishna, about His personality. about his activities, his leela. Just like one karma, leela Krishna did is Govardhan Dharan. From this leela of Govardhan, lifting the Govardhan, this he is showing his affection for his devotees. By being merciful, out of affection, he lifted this Govardhan hill. Otherwise, just by thinking, he could have protected everybody from the terrible rains. One time, some sadhus, they tell this story. The king, Akbar, he asked his minister, Birbal. He said, Birbal, I hear that in your house, the God in your house, he comes again and again. He is so powerful, God. Why does he come all the time? He could send some servant. Why does he have to come? Then Birbal said, Sir, give me a chance. In time, I will answer your question. Then Birbal, he took the newborn baby of Akbar, who was very small. Akbar's baby, newborn baby, so he made like a doll, looking exactly like Akbar, King Akbar's baby. These days they make a plastic. Somehow with wood, cloth he made. And he told the King Akbar, come on, let's go. We go boating today in Jamuna, in Agra. So the king went with him in the boat, and also a few people of his family. So this fake baby, he had in somebody's. He had somebody hold one of his people have that baby on his lap, and when they reached in the middle of the Jamuna, he did some kind of drama that the baby fell out of his lap and into the water. He fell, started to drown. And Akbar, of course, he thought it's his real baby, and he saw his baby fell in the water. He just jumped out of the boat and into the water, trying to rescue the baby. The king. He said to Birbal, the king said, what have you done, Birbal? You dropped the baby, my baby, in the water. Of course, it wasn't his real baby, it was a doll. So he caught the baby, climbed up on the boat. So the King Akbar said to Birbal, why did you do like this? It's a doll. You frightened me. I jumped in. And then Birbal said, I was just trying to answer your question from the other day. He said, which question? He said, one day you asked me why your God comes so many times, why he doesn't send his servants. So, sir, we were on the boat. And there were so many servants. So when the child fell in the water, why did you jump in? Why didn't you send one of your servants? We were all here. We could have gone in and got the baby. Why did you jump? You guys don't understand that the child might have drowned. I couldn't wait for you to jump in. I had to jump myself. So Birbal said, to Akbar, so my Lord is also like that. When he sees that my servants are in difficulty, he comes himself. He jumps inside this material world. He is so affectionate to us. So the Lord has so much affection to save his devotees in that big this great difficulty that was raining like rocks and flooding the whole place. The Lord has so much affection to the Brajvasis that instead of just protecting them by some sankalpa or mind, He just immediately picked up the whole mountain. Whenever there is a difficulty, suppose it starts raining now very hard, whatever you will find, you will use immediately a blanket, umbrella. There it was raining like big rocks. It's not like it was raining water. There was lightning. And everyone was crying. They were almost drowning. The children were crying. Cows were drowning. Everyone was drowning. He did not think, whatever he saw in front, the big mountain, he just lifted the mountain. But from this Leela, we see the Lord's nature, His nature of being affectionate to His devotees. Until we understand how affectionate this nature of Krishna, of being affectionate, until we understand His affectionate nature, we won't be able to love Him. We won't be able to love Him until we understand His affectionate nature. When we want to form a relationship with anybody, we first look at their nature. Sometimes we want to arrange a marriage for a girl with one boy. So we look at his qualities, his nature, his wealth, his education. We try to find out whether or not he's a thief, liar, bad character, whether he's ever been to a jail before or something. They look at all these things. Does he come from a bad family? Everyone wants to make a relationship with somebody who has nice nature, who's affectionate. So when we want to establish our relationship with Krishna, he should understand what Krishna is like. The most amazing thing is that people want to establish a connection with such a God who doesn't have a body, arms, legs, nothing. You can never have a relationship. This is craziness. Someone's looking for a husband for the daughter, and
uh,
and somebody in the comes meets you on the way who's a sadhu, and he says, "Oh, the boy for your daughter is nirakar. Look for him." And if somebody is so foolish, he accepts. Yes, yes. Yes, yes, my son-in-law will be nirakar, no body. There will be no birth and death because there is no body. But he does not understand that Krishna is beyond birth and death. As soon as people hear that he has a form, God has a form, they think he is like them, birth and death. So it's better to just understand God as nirakar, no form. This is foolishness. What's the use having a God that's nirakar? If some person is nirakar, you can't even call him on the phone.
Hello, nirakar.
You say, hello, nirakar. I'm in great difficulty. Where you live? There'll be no reply from the other side. A person who has an akar, a form, he will hear your prayers. You say, I'm suffering, I'm miserable, help me. But if he's nirakar, he has no form, how he'll hear? In this Leela, the Supreme Lord's nature of affection is shown. To save his devotees, not just for 1 minute, few minutes, few hours, 7 days and 7 nights, he held that mountain. Indra reigned for 7 days. Had he supplied the rain for years and years, Krishna would have just let the Govardhan hill on his finger for years and years. It was no problem for him. He's after all Supreme Lord. Everything was available. There was not even a slight blow of wind. There was a very nice lawn and garden. There was plenty to eat. And they were so satisfied just seeing Krishna. Indra saw nothing happen to these Brijvasis. They are all having fun. Everyone's happy, the cows are eating. Gopas are all dancing and singing and playing instruments. All this partying is going on. And how is Krishna still playing his flute? No one's unhappy, no one's anxiety, Indra thought. Then he understood. Oh my God, this is Paramatma, this is the Supreme Lord, Vishnu. Quickly he came back. Immediately he stopped all the clouds. He said, you're all so tired. They were waiting when Indra will tell them to go because they were so tired, totally, almost dead. They were so tired. Sometimes we see when the bulls are pulled. A bull is tied and he goes round and round making oil from the seeds. He's just hanging out when his boss, the farmer, will let him loose to relax. So, as soon as Indra said, "Stop this rain," the clouds became so happy, they immediately disappeared. 8th day. After the 7th day, 8th day in the morning, the rain stopped. Everyone was so happy. This Leela Krishna did, that by hearing, speaking and hearing this Leela later on in the world, people will become very happy and blissful and love him. Later, they will sing these pastimes and they will have more faith and love for me. For this reason, Vedavyas has written all these pastimes in the Bhagavatam. For devotees, the Lord's Leela is most relishable. And you see, in this world, people who feel themselves very happy, they sing. They hear some songs and they sing some songs. It may be condemned songs, but they keep singing and they keep hearing these songs and they try to make themselves happy. And all these songs are only about men and women. The men sing about women sing about men, and this is going on. What are all these cinemas about? It's all about third class singing. And they remain in this. But to hear and sing about God is transcendental happiness. And this is what humans should do. This is what the human body is given for, to sing Krishna's glories. In this way, we should sing and chant about Krishna. We should cook and offer to Krishna and then eat. What is the difficulty in this? Srila Prabhupada used to say, there is 3 things to do: dance, chant and eat Krishna prasad. After all, you have to eat Krishna prasad and be happy. Chant, dance and eat Krishna prasad. Okay, so not everybody can dance. Maybe somebody is handicapped. Not everybody wants to dance, or they're shy. And not everybody can chant. But eating, everybody can do. So eat prasad. At home also everyone is eating, cooking. All that should be offered to Krishna. Krishna eats. He manifested himself and he ate. He manifested as Govardhan and he ate a vishal, huge army of food offerings. And when in his four-armed form, in the form of Govardhan, when he was eating big pot fulls, whole pots, then Madhumangal and some sakhas, they say, by using a swear word, what kind of devta is this? He's eating everything. He's not going to leave anything for us. He is directly eating everything. Krishna, and Krishna is smiling. Here Krishna was offering obeisances and there he was eating everything as Govardhan. He ate everything and then everything was still there. Actually Krishna eats and then for us he leaves everything. Just by him seeing, he is eaten. He can also eat from his eyes. If Krishna doesn't leave for us, what will we eat? He doesn't need to eat. He is not hungry for your food. He is totally satisfied. He leaves it for us. Prasad. Prasad in Sanskrit means kripa, anugraha. Then we should eat prasad. Prabhupada used to say that everyone should eat prasad to for his own purification, for the purification of his family, his this life and the next, for the country. They should eat prasad. And it's the duty of the government. It's the duty of the government to make large amounts of prasad and distribute it. In this way, crime will reduce. One time somebody asked, how will the crime reduce? And Prabhupada said, chant Krishna's name and eat prasad. No more crime. He said, it is the duty of the government to have a department of Sankirtan. There should be a minister of Sankirtan, and they should give facility to people to go from village to village and teach people how to chant and feed them prasad. There should be a minister of prasad. There will be no crime. Prabhupada said. Prabhupada said, but it's difficult that because they won't do it. To remove crime, they do so much, spend so much money. And usually, it's the person, the minister for crime, he is the biggest criminal. Because he doesn't eat prasad. One who doesn't eat prasad, his intelligence cannot be pure. In Bengal, there is a saying, Jemni khai anna, temni hoy man. Whatever food he eats, his mind will be like this. You think if somebody eats meats and drinks intoxication, you can expect good nature from them? Never. It can never be. So food, pure vegetarian food should be offered. You should live with whatever ashram you're in. You're a householder. Live with your wife and family at home. Cook everything vegetarian, pure, and offer it to Krishna and feed your family. There is no need to change if one is sannyasi. Say sannyasi. If one is a grihastha, then stay a grihastha. There is no need to change. Whatever situation you're in, stay in that situation. There is only two things you have to do: chant Krishna's name and eat Krishna prasadam. And whenever you get chance in between, get a chance to be with devotees, you should come and visit the devotees and hear Krishna katha, Bhagavatam, Gita. You should read at home. This is our dharma. Anybody can do this. Man, woman, children, Hindu, Muslim, Christian, Sikhs, Jews, they're doing all over the world. They're doing. There is one basis. We are Krishna's. Otherwise, what's the use? They say we are all bhai bhai, we are all brothers. How can we all brothers if the father is the same? If you don't consider the father to be the same, how can you be brothers? You may say your father is nirakar, impersonal, or you may say your father is some demigod. Who is the father of the demigods? Krishna. All this is established in all the revealed scriptures. So we should accept this satya and take shelter of Krishna. So when we take shelter of Krishna, we become happy. Ourselves are happy, our family, our community. And for this reason, we have this Bhagavad Saptah program. I am very thankful to all of you to take part in this Govardhan festival.
ऐसा अनुभव हो रहा था कि हम सब लोग गोवर्धन पर्वत के नीचे हैं।